The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good takes.
But so many poor choices.
Is it now? Is it time?
It's time.
All right. Well, then this is the Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole. And we have a longtime friend of Sarah's who's joining us today, but who also happens to be a physical therapist with an energy healing specialty. So I'm super excited to learn more about what that means. So welcome, Brandon Younger.
Ow! I'm so excited.
Hello, me too.
I can tell.
So Brandon and I have known each other since 2004 or 5.
That sounds right. I think I was 20.
I don't even know.
Kristen was 19, which means I was 22.
I have no idea what I was. I was just old enough. I think I was like 21, 20. No,
what year did you graduate high school?
2003.
Yeah, you would have been 21 then.
Yeah. So we met at the bar, or did we meet working at the hot dog factory first, and then we went next door to the bar?
I did not work at any hot dog factory.
Well, you know.
I didn't know Sarah worked at a hot dog factory either. I'm wondering if it's code for something else.
It sounds like code, but it sounds too obvious to be used as code. you're talking about the Coney, right? That was right next door?
Yeah, Coney that was right next door.
Yeah. No, you were, I directed everybody, my job as bouncer was say, go pay cover, and then they would pay Sarah cover. And then otherwise we would just talk about shit.
So you guys were the whole front end operation.
Yeah, or we would yell about it because it was so fucking loud.
It was ridiculous.
I had a ring in my ear. Say that again.
That was when people could still smoke bars.
Yeah, it was gross. We were
still smoking bars. Boom.
Yeah.
Old as fuck.
So it was like frat party, sorority party, all night, and a bunch of fights. That was my job, was to break up fights and to point people to give their money to Sarah and to make sure people paid to get in.
Was that really a ruse to have them be your clients later, since now you're a physical therapist?
I don't know. Sure, they can be now, but I haven't run into anybody that I have thrown out of a bar that I know of anyway, because I didn't get a good look at many of them.
That was when Boots with the Fur came out, that song.
I remember Gnarls Barkley's Crazy was the jam of the minute at the time.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a good, I still like that song though.
And then then he would have to like follow me downstairs while I held thousands of dollars from taking cash all night.
It's the best part of the night. Because I didn't have to work. I just got to sit and hang out.
Yep. Watch me count money and fuck me up all the time. But now,
I didn't remember that part, but I kind of do now.
And then we continued to be friends, and Brandon started to go from beating people up at the bar because he was getting paid to helping people get healed. And I'll never forget the day you came. I had surgery for my myasthenia, and you came to my house like a couple days after I got home from the hospital. I couldn't sleep. And Brandon was like, Mom, I'm going to try and do some things for you really quick. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then he did a couple of adjustments, whatever. And I slept for like 16 straight hours. My mom came upstairs twice with a mirror to make sure I was actually still breathing. And I was like, maybe you got something going on there, bud. You kind of got it figured out maybe a little bit.
And that was a long time ago, too. That was like when I first learned acupressure. Like that was the only thing. I knew a couple things from PT school, but that was like right after I graduated. And I learned acupressure like immediately, and it was something else to see how that modality works. It's like ancient thing out of Chinese medicine. It would help people with the most complicated stuff, the people that nobody could figure out, and you just do a little bit of of energy work with somebody, and then they feel significantly better.
So how is energy work that you do now, I guess, different from like Reiki?
Reiki is probably the most common. Maybe Reiki and acupuncture are the most commonly known energy work type things. So I suppose the difference is that in Reiki, you're basically like, and I guess I can't speak to Reiki, I'm not like a Reiki practitioner, but my understanding of Reiki is that you are the vessel for the healing light, and then you put that wherever you might need to put it in a person's body. So you're just kind of the conduit. So in that regard, I am very similar. I just don't, there's like a whole bunch of different stuff that I do. And my assessment is not, it involves connection, but it just doesn't play out the same way as you'd expect a Reiki session to. And Reiki is mainly off the body work, and I do plenty of off the body work, but I do plenty of on the body work. And I was trained in dry needling probably like 5 years ago, 6 years ago maybe. And so I do a lot of that, and that's really super valuable. So now you're in the body. I find that the longer the needle is, the more change you can get in a person's nervous system. And obviously that's part of, you know, why they've been using them for such a long time in acupuncture. So if we take what I was just describing with Sarah's acupressure, right? I can only max, I'm using like 4 fingers because that's the most I can do. But if I have a bunch of needles, I have unlimited fingers, as many as I need. And then...
Is that the title of this episode? I have unlimited fingers?
I have unlimited fingers. I have as many fingers as I need. Yeah. It's true, though. Anyway, yeah, I guess that's the gist. So I use needles, and I use the shamanic healing stuff is like ancient and not of the Chinese medicine variety. It's like more of the Americas. So the techniques or the traditions that I was trained in were, it's the Quechua people, the Caro people, they speak Quechua, in the mountains of Peru and into the Amazon. It's what was taught to Alberto Villaldo, who started a school in America called the Four Winds Institute, and my teacher taught at that school. So it's just a lot different. Like they use the feathers and stones and burning of plants, and as well as a lot of different ceremonies and just a wide variety of. So if it's to speak to how it's different than Reiki, instead of just I'm channel for light, we're also removing darkness, right, and sending that wherever it needs to go, usually back to the earth. There's just a lot of different things that can happen.
Did you get to travel to anywhere to like do the studies? Because this sounds like it would be super cool to figure it out from people who've actually like grown up that way, or like that's their normal way of practice.
That would be great. I did not do that, but I would like to do that. I actually did it all on like what we're doing right now, like on Zoom. So that was really interesting for me because there was like this part of me that's like, you got to be in with the room with somebody to be able to feel that stuff and make it work and all that stuff. And then I was like, well, I feel it as it's being taught to me. So like there was times where I would feel super relaxed and everything just goes white. And then I eventually come back around and we have to finish our lesson. Those were probably the most, I got the most out of those, even though I didn't have like a lot of information, like whatever that class period, I would be like, man, that was something. And then there's other ones where we're just like, we're going to talk about I don't want to say the superstition because that's not right, but just the belief system that goes in behind it. And which is always interesting, but it's not the same as like being transported somewhere and having this like bright white light show up for you. So I would love to. I'd love to travel and have more experiences with the people who are like, that's how they live. You know, that's. I'm reading this book right now to illustrate kind of the way that I'm looking at it. Where these people, it's called Listening to Ayahuasca, and it's this mental health therapist who did some ayahuasca journeying And the message that she had received was that you need to do research on this and like bring this out into our Western culture. And so what she was describing was these shamans who are her doing the ceremony. There's like, they live in an ayahuasca infused culture where right. they can, you know, like all of these things that we're like, whoa, this is crazy. You know, like they can see and interact in the spiritual realm. Like that's normal for them, you know? So I think that's what you're saying too, is that would be very, very interesting to be able to learn from that. And honestly, it would be really the most interesting to be able to be immersed in it, because you're going to learn stuff, but you're not going to have a glimmer of understanding until you've really lived it for a long time, I think.
Yeah. And Sarah and I have both had our own experiences with energy, or I would say, you know, Chinese or non-Western medicine. I do a combination of a lot of different things in addition to seeing like my normal doctor, right? So mm-hmm. just kind of depending on what my ailment is determines on who I'm gonna go to. But the people who are able to really connect with your energy are the ones where I feel like I actually got the most value out of that session. Mm-hmm. Like I usually leave there feeling some way different than when I walked in, but in a positive way.
Yeah. That's not uncommon to have somebody have a hard time explaining what's yeah. different.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just different, guys.
Yeah, different in a good way, but I'm not sure what to say. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty common. Often also is like, I feel like I'm stuck to the ground, like I'm heavy, but also like I'm kind of floating at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot. Or tingling. I had just had somebody that I was working with before we started doing this that was like, she's like, I am really tingly, like intensely tingly right now, but in a good way.
Like,
so I hear that a lot.
On their way, like, are you going to be okay?
What's that? Say that again.
Are you going to be... Do you have to like worry about your patients leaving when they leave you? Like, are you going to be okay? Do we need to sit for a minute?
Well, in the future, I would definitely like to have like a chill out beanbag room or something like that. We could have like a hookah lounge for everybody to hang out in and just chill. But, you know, typically, no. When I have all the time that I need, I'm not worried about it. But when I'm at my job where I get, you know, where we're billing insurance and having people coming in that are referred by their doctor and stuff, then I'm like, you know, you can take as much time as you need to. And sometimes people just sit in their car because my office has a pond right up back. And so they just hang out, and there's all kinds of animals that hang out. So I think they just sit there. And sometimes maybe this doesn't sound bad. We'll explain it further. And sometimes they just cry, and they'll sit in their car and cry because they have all these emotions that come up during it. So no, I don't worry about them, because we kind of talk about like, here's what to expect and here's what you should do, and like maybe today is a resting day, especially if you had a really intense experience.
Oh my goodness. But okay, talk about the crying.
She said talk about the crying.
Yeah, I mean emotions. Yeah, emotions come up. So I mean that's the thing that I think is why people are getting better when we're working with them. And like when you guys are doing your respective energy works, is that everybody has trauma. But not everybody views trauma to be the same thing. So we can have the obvious ones, right? I was beaten, I was kidnapped, I was raped, all those types of things. Those are pretty obvious traumas, but we also have, everybody has a trauma if they didn't get love, you know, when they needed it to be held as a baby. That's traumatic. That starts to inform our view that the world is not necessarily a safe place. I didn't get fed when I need to get fed. You know, my needs might not be met, and these are traumatic. These change the way that we view the world on often a subconscious level. So that stuff lives in our body typically. You know, also sometimes it kind of seems like it lives in our field, like the energetic space around us, just depending on like how much we are like pushing it away. But so, you know, when we're doing body work with somebody, it's usually bringing up some of that stuff, some of that shadow part that we don't want to look at. And then it comes up to the forefront. And when people are really healing, they bring it up to the forefront, and then they experience it, and then they process it. And then those things don't elicit physical reactions anymore. They just become a story and something that we, something that has happened, you know, that I don't have those same feelings regarding, I'm not triggered anymore. You know what I mean? And so that's usually what happens. So when we do the work, and sometimes people have those things come up, and sometimes they don't feel comfortable crying in front of me, especially like I have people who I meet for the first time and they don't. I had somebody recently, I was like, are you just pushing it down right now? Because she was like welling up with tears. And she was like, yes, I am. That was actually happened twice, I think last week or the week before, in the same day, where I was like, well, just let it out. That's the whole point. You know, you're there, let it all out. And, but
it's
first
hard.
Day.
It's weird. It's like, yeah. Cause I went through an experience with a doctor around here and he like cleared some stuff and I started to cry and I was like, I don't want to cry in front of this man, but I'm going to have to in order for this to go away. But it's such an awkward experience. And he's like, you know, not super bedside manner. He's just, his practice is his passion. And he's so passionate about healing that the crying part is like something that he just has to deal with on the side. So he's just like patting me on the back and giving me a tissue. And I'm like, I'm cool, man. I'm cool. Just letting it flow for a second. And it's such an awkward experience. I get it. But at the same time, yeah. You have to. It's a requirement, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's when we push it back down, that's where it goes back to where it started. So let it up and out. Mm-hmm. Don't push it back down. That's when, if you want your problem to go away, you know, usually people are coming to see me for pain. But I'm like, if you want the pain to be better, you have to allow these emotions to flow through you and stop repressing them.
It's like a fart.
It's exactly like a fart, Sarah. sometimes when it comes up and out and into the environment, it can be messy and it can be gross. but when it stays inside, you know, it stays inside too long and it builds up and you're probably going to get hurt.
Yeah, all of that sounds real uncomfortable. whether it's crying in front of somebody I don't know or being constipated, I don't want either of those things. I recently, I've only done Reiki twice, but I've recently did Reiki in combination with a massage, and that was like a way better strategy for me because the first time I did Reiki, I just went right into it, and my mind was like way too active, I felt like. And this time when I did massage first, I was already super chilled out, like almost napping before the Reiki started. And so then at that point, I was not thinking about like, what am I going to have for dinner tonight and whatever, you know, and kind of just like let it happen. And I didn't have an emotional response, but I had these like involuntary puffs of air. And it was the strangest thing because I knew it was happening as soon as it happened. Like I didn't have any indication that all of a sudden I was going to have a puff of air come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. It just was like poof. Like yeah. It was an audible poof. And I don't know what I was letting go of exactly, but it just, all this fart talk reminded me.
It's a fart out your mouth, an energetic fart out your mouth.
I had air puffs coming out of my mouth, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called a fart. That's some...
It's mouth fart. So what I usually view that, and I'm not going to say like, here is what exactly that is, because I don't know, maybe somebody's done some research, but typically in these areas, we haven't had the actual like scientific research to say like, this is what's happening. And that's why these things are more alternative or considered alternative. But those are things that I use as a sign. Okay. And I usually tell somebody your autonomic nervous system is changing, right? When we get those big deep breaths, we're usually shifting out of, we kind of live fight or flight, rest and digest stays down here and we don't get a lot of sleep, right? Or we struggle to, our brains don't shut off. But as we get those air poofs or those deep breaths, then it's like, and then eventually we're like, oh yes, this is good. You know?
Yeah.
I'm
well,
nice and relaxed now.
I had to be knocked down, I think about 5 levels. I think that was about the amount of air poofs that I had in a 30-minute session.
I mean, our culture does that. You know, we got to get out there and work hard to achieve your dreams. No time for rest because somebody else is then working harder than you and they're going to achieve your dreams before you. But I don't think that that actually works very well. We end up just being sick and stressed, and then we become dependent on chemicals to try to make us feel better instead of actually taking time to regulate our own nervous systems. So yeah, I think that's what you were experiencing, that nervous system reset, if we wanted to look at it that or like that, or like a releasing of something that you aren't even aware of,
right.
But that has been, you've been holding on to.
Yeah,
what you're describing.
It's interesting. I have thyroid problems for a long time, and I recently started a new medication for it, and there was like a moment or like where your thyroid would be around like your throat area where it felt like there was a bow being undone. Mm-hmm. And it would last like a half a second, but it was a very noticeable feeling of just kind of like an opening.
Yeah.
And so,
throat chakra opening.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I was going to say, and so then also, I'm sure it has to do something with like, you know, actually using your voice and talking about feelings and things. but it all is coincidentally,
yep.
with the timing of me starting this new medication that is also attached to an organ that is right there.
Brandon, when did you start to feel like you were different, maybe? I don't know. Or like you were connected more than others? Like,
like the actual realization, or when do I think it happened in my life?
Both?
I realized it much later than it started. A lot of it because I find that we gain more access to a spiritual realm when we have suffered abuse and trauma. And I had a very traumatic upbringing. And so what we do is dissociate, right? And so we leave our body a little bit. That's the way I usually describe it anyway. When we dissociate, we leave. But where do we go? And that, depending on what your belief system is, I believe that we are leaving and we're going more to where, like, where we're going to go when we die. Our soul departs the body a little bit. And so I had lots of opportunities for my soul to depart my body because what was happening at the time was too dangerous or too scary or whatever, however we want to look at that. So that's when it started. And I started to realize it when I realized it when I was working with people as a physical therapist. But there's another story in there too. So I realized it consciously when I started to do my own work and having my own counseling and understanding what my feelings really were. And then I started to sense like, this feels like anxiety while I'm working with somebody, but it doesn't feel like my anxiety. Like my anxiety feels different and runs through my body differently. And so I started to gather data, right? Because I got my doctorate in Western medical things, and data is king, evidence is king. But I was working with like a student who was observing, and I was just showing her like what treatment looks like. And I started to feel all this stuff in my throat. This is a throat heavy episode. And I looked down at her, and her throat was like just bright red. And she told me afterwards, she was like trying to be strong at the time, but she was like, I was feeling so much anxiety right then. And I was like, I was feeling anxiety in my throat, you know? So I was like, oh, I'm kind of picking up on what she's putting down, and it's not necessarily just me. So it was around then. And then I started to have, it was still the same job, but a different location. And I remember I was working with this older lady who was had all kinds of health issues. I remember she gave me all of her gluten-free recipes, because that was one of the things that she was working on, was figuring out how to make things that tasted good but still had to be gluten-free, which is a challenge. So anyway, there was like, she was talking about her husband had passed and all this kind of stuff. And eventually I started to feel, like there was this dense energy that would like rise up out of her and other people's kind of like their chest. It would gather from all parts of their body and come up through their heart. And then it would start to dissipate into their aura. And then in would come this like this lighter energy. And then after that happened, people would feel better. And I was like, oh, this was interesting. I'm not really sure what to make of it. But I was like, this seems good. It seems positive. So that was when I was like, something's happening. I don't understand it. And I talked to, because I was seeing a counselor as well as like an energy worker. And I was like, hey, so this thing's happening where I'm feeling, oh, I didn't even get to this part. Excuse me, we'll have to backtrack. I felt like there was something else in the room with us, like another presence. And so I didn't, like, I don't know what to do with it. And even talking about it right now, I'm feeling tingly. But like I engaged with it and was like, hey, what's up, friend? And I got the impression that it was this lady's husband. And then we had like a conversation about like, what does he do next? He didn't know what to do. He kind of wanted to come with me when she left. And I was like, no, you go help her with things. You know, she'll let you know, you know, but you don't hang out with me anymore. So, and then after that, I remember like, she just always felt better when we did that stuff. So I was like, this is good. I don't know what that is. And I ended up meeting this other, it led me to meet this person who kind of changed. She was like, oh, I know what that is. My energy worker was like, I've never developed that area for myself. Go meet this person. And this person happened to be like a 70s to 80 year old lady who I reached out to her, and she just came over to my house, and we like talked about stuff, and I told her what's been going on for me. And she was like, oh, okay. And she was saying some shit that like made a ton of sense. And then she was saying some shit that didn't make any sense. And I was like, I went between like, wow, this is amazing. And like, do I need to ask you to leave right now?
Because... Sounds like my dating life.
Well, it's exciting, right? It sounds like exciting dates. At least it's not boring.
You're like, yeah. I don't know.
well, here's the advice that I gave myself and give to other people in similar situations is take what resonates and take that with you, Nicole, and then leave the rest. And so right. If the balance is too much, I want to leave it, then you don't see that person anymore.
Yeah.
But sometimes time will tell because, you know, I understand the stuff that was like, so here's what she was telling me. She was explaining energy and how it all works to me. And then she would also tell me about her home planet and her species that she has descended from that's here. And like for me, I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't resonate with me at all. But you really want to talk to me about it. And she would get like, she wasn't reading the room well as she was discussing it. We could have been talking about other stuff, but she really wanted to share that with me. And then it kind of get into stuff where it kind of felt like conspiracy theories, you know? And so I wasn't into it. My goal is to help incorporate energy medicine into our Western framework. And so I'm not trying to go too far down any sort of rabbit hole. I want to say this stuff is used for healing and we should use it for healing if that's really what we want to do. And I, side note, I met with her again, like a couple years later. Because I had a dream that she was there and I just sent her an email and ended up going over to her house. First thing she did was talk to me about extraterrestrials, like almost immediately. Like she couldn't wait to do it again. So, so I don't know. Maybe she feels like that I'm one of her same people or same beings. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you really...
What's that?
Maybe you just don't know it yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably what she would say. And I don't know it, so...
We're trying to recruit you, Brandon. So get how can it together.
Well, I definitely have had experiences that are like, well, what she's saying is not wrong. It just doesn't resonate with me. As time has gone on, I've had experiences like that. Like doing this mushroom ceremony where, like... Over the course of my life, like when I knew you, like mushrooms were always around. And then they weren't because I was like living my adult life. But then they came back into my life a bit. And I had this like, they just come on so fast for me. Like people talk about how they have to wait however long, like an hour or 2 hours. Or sometimes they don't even feel them until they eat like way more and then it's way too much. But like I laid back, and as like lights were shifting and colors are changing, and then all of a sudden it was like a veil lifted, and I saw this like being that reminded me of like a praying mantis that was like bigger than the room that I was in, but also was the same size as the room, or like, I'm sorry, it was in the room, but it was like way too big for the room. So it was like this paradox that I don't understand with my logical brain.
I'm but like picturing like kind of, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I'm in yeah, Alice sure. Wonderland right now.
What's that?
I'm in Alice in Wonderland right now with it.
yeah. So anyway, it was like kind of like looking at everybody that was in the room, and it just seemed like it was making sure everything was cool. But then it noticed me notice it and like came over. And once it got like into my field, everything went white. I couldn't see it anymore. And it's kind of like what happens when I meditate. Sometimes as things go white, like what I was describing when I was having the shamanic training. But all it did was like dip its head in and was like, how you doing? And I was like, I'm good. And it was like, good. And then it was like shrept back out. And I was like, holy shit. that's something. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, okay, she's got something there, but it took me a bunch of years to.
And a bunch of mushrooms, apparently.
And a bunch of mushrooms. Yeah. She's just living the mushroom life all the time, maybe, you know?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe she eats mushrooms all day, every day.
Or she's just been practicing this stuff because like, she's like in her 70s or 80s.
That too.
Yeah. So, man. I got a whole nother life to live before I'm there. But anyway, so let me keep telling you stories because I have another one. So what really, and I was over by you guys, I was living in Royal Oak and I was working at St. John Providence when I was finishing up school. It was my last rotation. And that's when I think things really kind of kicked in. It was like the next phase of your life is happening right now. So I remember I was in the pediatric area. I was just following another therapist and we sat in with on a regular office visit with this kid and the therapist and the doctor. And leaving that, I saw, you know, when you like stare into like a fluorescent light and you see that light still when you close your eyes. That's what was happening, but all the time. It wasn't just when I like shut my eyes. It was all the time. There was this like light in front of my face. And so that really freaked me out at the time. But and now I look back and I was like, oh, I was seeing the light. Like that was me. I'm moving into this like healer mode, this next phase where I'm going to be healing with this I don't know if you hear people called like light workers and stuff, but
yeah,
that's what energy worker, I mean, you can call them that as far as I'm concerned. So the light was being shown to me, but it freaked me out. I was like, I started to like get really anxious and I started feeling like it was like dissociating again. I was like going to pass out all the time. And I was like, something's wrong. And like my blood pressure was kind of low.
At least you were at the hospital already.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though I didn't get any help, I was at the hospital. Yeah. Worst case scenario. Yeah. I was at the hospital every single day, but that was my concern was should I put on the light? Like, is this video going to go up?
No.
Cause I'm getting darker.
It's
over
okay.
Here.
Okay.
No,
okay. Got it. So anyway, then every day I'm waking up and like, fuck, I hope I get to work today. And then I get to work and I was like, hope I make it to lunch. And then I get to lunch, I hope I make it to the end of the day. And then I get to the end of the day, it's like, hope I make it home. And that was every single day. And
exhausting.
It wasn't great. and when I finally did, because eventually it went from like intermittent to constant. And when it was constant, I checked myself into the hospital or like went to the ER and was like, somebody help. This is just not changing anymore. And they were like, oh, I can see how anxious you are. And I was like, yeah, I'm anxious because every time I get in a car, I feel like I'm going to kill myself or somebody else because I'm going to pass out, but I never pass out. And I was like, I hope it's anxiety. Give me an anxiety pill. Do a thing for anxiety for me. Like, just try. I don't know. But I didn't get any answers. And they were like, you're not going to die. So...
But I feel like that's no matter what you're experiencing, that's almost always the outcome with like Western medicine.
You're anxious.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, no, like that you leave there without Like, you know, just drink some water.
If it's like a structural thing, like if it's like a perceptual thing, like something that stems from our nervous system, yeah, you are probably going to have that experience. But, you know, if you have a broken bone or like a
Yeah.
lacerated organ, then you're probably going to be like, yeah, we know what to do about this. It showed up on the MRI, so we
Right.
know what to do now because we saw it with the picture machine.
Yeah.
But most of the like if we circle back to like the people that I see, they're not getting answers from our Western system, and they
Yeah.
do very well with energy work because we're not just a collection of body parts, you know. We are like this whole thing. It's not just this, you know. I guess that's it. We're not. I'm not
We're
just
not a
a
car.
bay.
We're
Is it? What's
human.
that?
We're not a car.
Yeah. We have like we're animate, you know. We have this soul.
Consciousness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we don't always take that into consideration because we're like, okay, what did the blood tests say? Okay, when the blood tests say this and the imaging says this, then that means this is the label you have. And when that's the label you have, then you're gonna do this. Here's your therapies that you're gonna do now. And if you don't fit with that, then we don't know, or you're making it up or something because I'm super smart and I didn't figure it out, so it must be your problem and not mine. And I feel like that happens a lot and is a pretty common story, at least for the people that I end up seeing. So, and it's just because our medical system doesn't know what to do with trauma. And because I think a lot of this goes back to traumas that are unresolved that can live in our body and affect our nervous system in a wide variety of ways that aren't necessarily like linear. So we can't be like, it's every time I do this. You know, it's just sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I don't have any idea. And things like that. When you're in a linear system and a linear way of thinking, you don't get answers because it's not a
Right.
linear problem.
So wait, what happened with your blackouts, whiteouts?
Yeah.
Whiteouts. What happened?
Well, yeah, the whiteouts. The whiteouts, I mean, eventually I had to finish school and I tried to like to find different answers in different areas, and I didn't find any, and then I started doing work to resolve my traumas with my counselor and my energy worker, and then I felt better. And so I was like, great, I needed that. Like, this is just another step in the grand scheme of Brandon's life that I wasn't aware of, you know? So, but yeah, and then since then, oh, and then the other thing is that then when I didn't have any of those problems for a while, I was like, hey, great. That's awesome. I don't feel like I'm scared all the time because my body is not part like working together with me. And then I went to learn dry needling, and how they introduce it to you is like first you put like a little needle in your arm, and then I did that and I started to feel that all those things again, where I was like, oh fuck, I'm gonna pass out. I was like, but I'm gonna power through it, and because I'm not gonna pass out. And that's one of the things that they tell you is that some people pass out when they are needled. And I was like, okay, but they didn't say why. They didn't give me like a good reason for it. But then, so the second thing that you do, because that was a really small needle, is that you get a bigger needle and then you put it into your thigh. And so I was like, well, I'm gonna lay down for this one. And when I laid down and just let that feeling like flood over me, I like got this big smile on my face and started laughing and was like, oh my God, it's chi. It was always chi. It's my energy. And I was like, holy shit, everything makes sense now. But I had to suffer for several years before I could actually figure it out. So it was so valuable for me to be like, oh, I can just say this is energy, and then I'm gonna learn more about energy. And now that I've learned more about energy, the more I learn about it, the less I definitely don't have that stuff anymore. And when I do, I'm like, oh, there's something powerful that's happening. I need to chill out and just focus on what I'm experiencing because there's something here that I don't understand. And the more I pay attention to it, the less I feel like, oh my God, something's wrong with me.
Did your counselor suggest that you see an energy healer? Is that how those two people got involved? Okay.
Yeah, he works with this guy. It's Hakomi therapy is what it's called. So I'm not gonna do justice to how a Hakomi practitioner would describe what they do. But what it helped me with is to identify the physical sensations of my emotions, instead of just being like, I'm mad or I'm sad. Like, that plays out in your body, however it plays out. And so I just became more aware of that. And that's what led to that other story where I was like, oh, mine feels like this. And it's like, well, but this doesn't feel like mine. This must be somebody else's. Yeah. Yeah. So they work in tandem.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's amazing because Sarah and I actually share a therapist and, she's a pretty cool lady. And sometimes during my sessions with her, she'll make suggestions like, well, you know, it's something that we've maybe you've been working on or something that keeps coming up. And she'll say, maybe you need to, you know, have some sort of like energy healing or clearing or something around like that particular emotion because it keeps resurfacing and I'm not obviously doing what I need to do, or it's wanting to come out and it's not, or something like that. So she'll make suggestions for it. And I love that about her because she's not a psychiatrist. Like, she's not going to prescribe medication. She's a psychologist. So she's like looking for other alternatives to help.
I love that about her too. That's what I see is like the next phase for me. I've been working with more counselors, specifically trauma-informed ones, because I'm a physical therapist. I was trained in physical medicine. I wasn't trained in mental health stuff. So I like to be like, hey, I'm reached the end of what I can help you with. So I would like for you to see somebody else or see somebody in tandem. And so I super value that. And I think that, you know, we're talking about our emotional body when we're talking about energy. I heard somebody say that emotions are energy in motion. And I think that that's true. So I think it makes a lot of sense for energy workers and mental health professionals to be working together, especially because a lot of the mental health people that I know are very sensitive to energy. They just they're not necessarily talking about it in terms of chakras and aura and that type of stuff. They're just super aware of like how energy shifts and how like our dynamics change when different things are introduced to our environments. And that those are the good ones. The ones who are good at it really, really pick up on that stuff.
Yeah, they're really cool. It's so cool to see like how from when we were younger and going to a therapist was like, means you got this, need a therapist, you're fine, to please go see a therapist, you need to right now. Like, stop what you're doing and go talk to somebody place. Like, it's just so great to see how different it is.
Do you mean like the stigma that was on it when we were younger or no? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're crazy and you have a problem, so you need to go to a therapist. There's this cultural stigma against it, where especially with men. Men are probably the worst.
Yeah. I would say.
Because you're not strong if you need a therapist. Yeah. A strong, burly boy, you know? That's something that would be lovely to change. I don't know another way to do it besides just have conversations about it. Everybody should have a therapist.
Yeah. Or some way of understanding how to talk about whatever they're feeling, even if it's not through like full on therapy. There are places out there that offer like the texting and that type of thing too, like where you can just text somebody some shit all day. That's better than nothing, in my opinion.
I agree. It's definitely better than nothing. If I had a client that I was like, you should need to be in with a counselor and you're not, and they were like, but I text with this hotline, you know, I'd be like, maybe make another choice. Do that too.
All right, so it's a good starting point.
Yeah, yeah. If somebody's not ready to dive in, but that's like something that they can like dip their toe into, I think that's good.
Yeah,
it's definitely not a bad thing that it exists.
No, I don't think so.
The worst part about all of this type of, we'll just bundle it under healthcare, is that it's expensive for people who, you know, don't have that kind of discretionary income, because a lot of this stuff is not covered by insurance. And so now that there is like Talkspace and apps and other things that are not only accessible, but hopefully I'm not familiar, but I would hope that they would have like some sort of payment plan or something, because as much as I tell people that I have a mixture of professionals that I go to get all of my healing done, like, I am fortunate in the fact that I can afford to do it.
Right. I am so glad you're bringing stuff like that up, because that is a problem. And that's something that, well, it's my attaboy.
It's about time.
It's time. So
oh, is it time for the attaboy?
Attagirl attaboy time, yeah. Because at this point in the show, we like to just give ourselves a pat on the back for something good that we've either done or something good that's happened. So, I mean, yeah, go right into it.
So my attaboy is more like the mental shift. I initially was like, what I want to do is get this energetic medicine to people who can't afford it, because most people who are getting it have extra income. But those people those people don't need it or whatever. I was kind of going to, but they need it less than somebody whose every single day of living their life is trauma. You know, yeah. They have old trauma. We all do. And they need to work on it, and good for them. But people living in poverty every single day is trauma. A lot of people who are LGBTQ, their every single day is trauma. And I'm working with some refugees right now who had faced torture. You know, they fit the definition, the dictionary definition of torture. And how's a refugee gonna find energy medicine? Like, they got out of a dangerous place and now they're in America where we're gonna give them pills and stuff like that. But how are they gonna actually get to the root of what's causing their problems? And so that's what my goal is. So my vision was fixed on, how do I make this something that can be sustainable for myself and my family? And how am I going to structure this so that I can live? And now that I feel like I'm getting that structure in place, I'm switching my pat on the back, is that my mindset can switch back to, how do I get this care to people who can't afford it? And I think there's a wide variety of different ways to do it, but I'm leaning more towards, let's get involved in an existing nonprofit, or I'm going to need to meet people who know how to run businesses, excuse me, and nonprofits and things of that nature, so that we can actually do it, you know? And I don't think that there's definitely, if you're trying to get rich by healing people, it's probably not going to work out that well. Well, maybe you'll get rich, but you're not going to be doing that much healing, you know?
No, that sounds like a plastic surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah. And is that healing? I mean, they... typically, you know, the cosmetic stuff is not, but there's also people get a lot of benefit from plastic surgery. But, you know, I think a lot of people go into medicine because they want that glamour, or that, like, I'm a doctor. They can say I'm a doctor. But then once you become that, like, is that actually what you wanted? You know? But anyway, so moral of all that story is that I really look forward to doing that. And I really hope that there are people who are listening to this that are like, oh, I could help with that. That sounds like a good idea, because I would love to talk to those people and figure out how to make it happen. Because what I know is that I have treatment under control, like how to progress a person through treatment, how to help them feel better, and then teach them how to help themselves feel better, and then work their way through the underlying causes of why they don't feel good or have these health conditions. So I know how to do that. And I know people who would be willing to do more work like that if they can also have enough money to pay for their house and food and all that kind of stuff.
Live.
Because the problem with a lot of therapists is that we're not rich. We don't have a lot of extra money. So and it's okay, right? As I just need my basic needs to be met. And if I can do that and get care to people and help them elevate their life, especially, you know, right now in my life, especially these refugees that are coming in front of me, like, that feels good to me. And it's not that other people don't feel good, but it just feels so important. And that's what I want to keep going that direction with my life.
Well, I appreciate you for that, because I once was a person without the insurance and I needed the help. So hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully there are others out there who want to help too.
Yeah. And and there are, you know, they're out there. It's just harder to come by because we get so distracted by money. Just culturally, money. But yeah, you know, I also trust in the universe, you know, I believe in karma, and that what we put out there comes back to us. So My goal is to not wait. I've thought that's gone through my head plenty of times. Okay, I can't do that until I do this and like get some firm footing underneath me. But I also believe that if I just go for it, you know, and I'm doing something good for the world, that it'll work out, you know. And I don't have that long. We're not alive for that long. You know, so. And if it fails miserably,
what's not that? In this sack.
No, this bag of bones, this meat bag, is not lasting a super long time. Hopefully it lasts long enough, but you know, but even if it lasts 100 more years, right, which is statistically improbable, it's still not that long. You know, there's a lot of organisms on our planet that live way longer than that.
That's so true. Birds.
So the parrots, right? The parrots live as long as us, these turtles. And I was specifically thinking about trees. I'm reading this book. I think it's called The Secret Lives of Trees. And they were just, one of the things that I just read was like, these trees get chopped down after 100, 200 years. And that's very young for a tree. And it's like, yeah, there's trees that are, like, I think the oldest tree is in Sweden. And it's like thousands of years old. It's just crazy.
The tagline for that book that like came to mind was like, trees, they've seen some shit.
Yeah, they have. They've seen some serious shit, those trees. And we're just like a blip, you know? Like, think about how fast it went from like where there was no cars and stuff like that. And we were like heating our house with like fire. Like, to now. Like, that hasn't been that long. So that's like one young tree life, you know?
By the way, for people, because this is an audio medium, he has a full like background of trees behind him as well.
that's true. I do.
There's a connection.
It's the forest.
That is my happy place. Is the forest? I'd like to go back soon. And also, I think plants, you know, if we really listen, the plants have a lot to teach us. That's actually what that book is about too, is like the actual chemical and electrical processes that happen in plant life to be able to communicate between the plants. And even through the mycelium networks underground, like that's what carries messages and information and nutrients between plants and all over the place. They call it the wood wide web. And they legit call it that too. But what's crazy is that only makes sense. We discovered it after the internet, after we had the World Wide Web. We discovered the Wood Wide Web, this thing that's been around for so long,
a concept we couldn't grasp.
Yeah.
We had no idea what we were even looking at until we had our own.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, oh yeah, this is like the internet, but for trees.
Holy shit.
I appreciate that. You know, you're doing what you're doing and helping people in a way where you're like, I want to find a solution for you. Like, I don't want you to keep having to come back to me. Like, my goal is to help you, and hopefully I don't have to see you again for like treatment, right? And so that's the best type of medical practitioner that you can have in any form. It's like somebody who's like, you know, It's great. I like you and all, but can we just like get you on the right path so you don't have to come back? That
yeah, I have that conversation a lot. Like, this has been great, and feel free. Like, a lot of people, you know, when they really value it, they're like, I don't want to stop doing this. But I was like, well, let's continue working so that you don't rely on me, you know?
Right.
Because I've been practicing longer than the people that I'm working with have been practicing, because I'm teaching them to initiate their practice. But, you know, once they get to a certain point, it's just off to the races, you know, and sometimes we have to like, actually, I have to actually cut the cord so that they'll do that because they want to be reliant on me. But, you know, what's great is that, you know, like if we finished and we're like, you had your transformation that you were looking for, now you can teach that to somebody else, you know, whatever resonated with you, and talk to them about it, and maybe some of that doesn't resonate with them, but some of it does, and then they can make a change, and ideally a positive change, right? That's the goal. But yeah, I think that's something that's really valuable about being like seeing the world through the eyes of like a physical therapist, because our emphasis is function and independence, And that's not everybody who goes through the medical field is focusing on function and independence. So I feel like that was a gift that I didn't realize I was receiving as I was going to physical therapy school, was to be like, it's not about me and what I can do. It's about what I can use those skills to help somebody set themselves up for success. And then it's more about what can I teach somebody to be able to do and be able to help them negotiate what challenges that they have that get between them and the way of life that they're looking for. And so that's much more important than what I do, like, passively to them.
And that is a beautiful statement. And it was a wonderful attaboy.
I would say so.
Thanks.
I feel up, but you guys are my attagirl.
Are you ready for your attagirl? Because if not.
You got an attagirl? Does everybody do one? I didn't know everybody did one. I want to hear them.
Oh, yeah.
So I've had this lawnmower of mine for 4 seasons now. Never changed a spark plug, never done the oil in it. I just turn it on and use it, run shit over with it, and then keep it outside during the winter with a tarp over it.
That's way to
it.
Go, Sarah.
Atta like girl. Maximum effort, you know what I mean? I bought it for $100 at Home Depot back 4 years ago, whatever. So I go out there this yesterday. I put some seafoam in it, a little bit of new gas, bitch starts right up. I actually was able to get 2 passes in on the lawn, and then I came inside to change. Didn't actually mow the lawn, but the story is that I got the mower started. So
that's amazing.
We're halfway there.
You really did it.
I'm proud of you.
Good for you. I mean, that is always a good feeling when the lawnmower starts when you haven't used it for an entire season or two. Yeah.
And it sat in the outside.
Oh, it was outside. I missed that part.
Yes. Under a tarp.
Yeah. I'm like,
oh, under a tarp?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why it's fine.
I'm like, she probably didn't even empty the gas out of it before the winter.
I did too.
Oh, I wouldn't have. Good for you.
Oh my god.
So yeah.
Good job, Sarah. Unicorn. Way
thank
to
you.
Problem solve. Okay, so my story is a little long. I'm going to try to make it quick. And you were talking about the universe, right? I've had a few moments lately where the universe has caused me to, like, run into people or be at the right place at the right time or whatever. So the other night, I think this was like 2 nights ago, my dog woke me up at like 4:45 in the morning, which is pretty ridiculous since I took her out at like midnight or 12:30. I did not like go to sleep till 1. So I wasn't happy when she woke me up at like 4:45. And so she like is in this hurry and darts to the back door. I let her out, and then not even probably 5 minutes later, she's barking, but from the front. And so she's in front of the gate barking. So then I have to go out the side door, and I'm trying to get her to stop because, again, it's 5 a.m. And she's ignoring me. So I go outside, and there's a dog in the street that had, like, got loose. Mm. And I'm like, there's no way she heard this dog. I didn't hear the dog barking or anything. And my dog's geriatric, and she has selective hearing anyway. So I was like, what wild, like, circumstances and coincidence that there's this dog in the street in front of my house? So I go out there, and the dog walks up to the fence, even with Gia right there, and just walks right in. I didn't have to do, like, any wrangling or anything. It had a collar on. So I call the phone number and they don't answer, and I text them, and then I'm like, what am I going to do with this dog? So my dog liked this dog, so she's trying to play with it. I couldn't tell how long it had been out.
Gia hates all of her dog hates every other dog she's ever met.
Oh.
So yeah. Hates them.
Yeah. So She's trying to like play with this dog. They're following each other around the yard. I don't know how long this dog's been out because it doesn't look like freshly groomed or anything. So I get it like a bowl of water and treats and stuff, to which only my dog eats and drinks. And so I'm still sitting here like, okay, I guess I'm going to leave this dog outside and put Gia inside. And then before I know it, here's another damn dog. So this owner had two dogs that got out, and when they got out, they were separated. So.
And then they all ended up in your yard?
Yes. And so the second dog, I had to like, it went to the neighbor's house on the other side of my fence. So then I had to go convince it to come around to my house to get into my fenced area. So Gia's going nuts because now she has to protect your new friend. And so I get Gia inside. Now I have two dogs outside. But this dog is, he's chunky. He's a chunky boy. So he's eating the treats and whatnot. And so I call the number again. And thankfully, this time he answers. And I just was like, I have your dogs. It was a neighbor. He lives behind me. I've never met him before. Like they were from a house like basically behind me, and they walked around the block. And so the guy walks over to my house. It's 5:30 in the morning now. And I'm like, here's your Toby and Rambo.
Thanks for making my night longer.
I know. He felt so bad.
Yeah.
And I was just happy that they were okay, but I still don't understand how I was out there and then how I stayed out there long enough to even see the second dog. Like, this was just, it was a lot. So then after he gets them, I go back to bed. I try to get some more sleep. And the guy texts me like an hour later when I'm like trying to sleep. At this point, I was like, just go away. But he said, thank you. And was like, I feel like I owe you, like a bottle of wine or something. And so the next day I went out to dinner with a friend. I came back and there was a bottle of wine at my door from him with a thank you note from the neighbor, Toby and Rambo. So I was out saving dogs' lives before anybody else was even awake.
Well, and it sounds like maybe this guy, you might have some romance in the future from their owner.
I don't think so. Initially, no, I was not. Like, is this the universe bringing him directly to me? Because yes, he is single, but
you he into him?
Weird choices. I'm not going to lie. Like, when he told me which house he was, I was like, oh, that's that weird house. So I don't think it's a romantic connection.
When you saw him, did your body react?
I did see him. I mean, it was still dark, so I didn't get like a full view. But you know how Facebook is, right? You have a phone number in your phone, then all of a sudden they're like, this should be your friend. So I saw his Facebook profile. And I still, it really solidified his odd choices. Okay.
So not a love connection.
I don't think so. Also, why are the dogs out? You know what I mean? Like, why is he sleeping and the dogs are out? I can't be with somebody like that.
Fair. That's irresponsible.
Well, I mean, unless he has like a dog door or something. He told me that he has to put a cinder block in front of the fence, and he had forgotten to do that because Rambo knows how to open the fence.
Mm. Which one was Rambo, the chunky one or no?
Rambo's the chunky beagle.
Okay.
Toby is the King Charles Spaniel.
Ah, okay. So a couple long ears? A couple long-eared dogs?
They were so cute.
Yeah, but
so friendly. And they kept wanting to come into my house. Even when he had them on the leash, they were like, no. Like, they were going up my front porch because he makes odd choices.
You think they were trying to run away from him?
I don't know, maybe. They just really wanted to be inside my house, though.
You've been doing your energy work. Animals know about it.
That's true. That is true. It was a full-on dog party.
Just ill-timed, you know? It sounds fun, but not at that time, yeah.
terribly timed.
What a morning.
So, anyway, yeah, that's, that's my long Attagirl story.
Attagirl.
Lives.
Thank you.
You really took care of those animals. Not everybody would have done that.
Nope.
I know, but how can you not? Ugh.
Just gotta people not give a shit.
Yeah. Brandon, everybody find you if they want you to help them or connect with you for helping others.
Go to the World Wide Web.
Not the World Wide Web.
It's stepforwardwellness.org. .org. Not .com. And then you can get a hold of me through there. There's lots of stuff on the website.
Do you have an Instagram?
I have an Instagram. I have Facebook. It's all Step Forward Wellness. That's all what they are. I'm not good at social media already. Yeah. Well, that's what I think is happening, because I'm not diving into it probably for another year. Like, actually, like, this is what I'm doing, because I have to pay the bills while my fiance finishes up. She's going to be a vet. So she also loves dogs. She loves King Charles. We have a beagle mix. She's a, what's the wrinkly face?
Sharpei?
Sharpei beagle mix. So we got one of those too. Anyway, but she's going to finish up school next year. And she really wants me to keep working until that happens and have steady income until that happens. I'm not as convinced, but for right now, I'm gonna do it. I'm getting it all set up, and I have stuff on. If they go to the website, there's a link to the YouTube channel at the bottom. I am not good at doing any of this stuff, so the videos aren't great by any means, but they do convey valuable information. What I put on there is all the exercises that I teach to people that I find nobody else teaches, not even in like a similar manner. So I'm like, let's have give it to the world. This is the most important thing. Like, if it's an easy enough thing to deal with where they won't need me, this setup and playlist, like, if your pain is in this area, go through these things and you might just be able to treat it yourself. And that's what I want. Like, spread that around, give it out to the world.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to go look at it. Shit.
Do it, yeah. And I'll probably have an insight timer thing going on. My buddy, you remember Matt Lukes?
Nope.
He was always doing the art gallery stuff. Mm. If you don't follow him, I'm going to send you his stuff. I'll send you his stuff on Instagram. He is so talented. Anyway, this is not about Matt. Let's move on. But he's also a musician. And so I teach a meditation that's a pretty fundamental part of my treatment to help people. What I find is it helps people open up and connect to that higher self. So he's putting music to that. And so we're doing that aimed at sleep. So the music is very like relaxed with it. But I'll have that up eventually too. I'll probably put that on the YouTube channel for anybody that just needs help relaxing. They can just listen to that, follow along, and
for people who don't know, and the Insight Timer is an app that you can get for free.
Meditation app.
You didn't know?
I'm
here for you. I'm here for you.
Everybody's heard of Headspace though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like not as popular as Headspace, but like Headspace. So
yeah,
as far as I know.
Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing your journey and filling us in on what all of this means. So it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And everyone go check out Brandon at stepforwardwellness.org.
Yeah, org. Thank you.
God damn it.
O-R-G.
And then if you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe, follow us on social, on Instagram at homance_chronicles. And then we also have a judgment-free zone on Facebook. That's a closed group where we share extra like naughty bits. So find us there. Homance out.